Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 111, Bob Willey. Yes, Bob Willey is back. He was episode number 6, where we get into a lot of his background. If you are interested in that, go back and listen to episode number 6. In this one, we catch up. We want to know how he's doing a year later in his business. Let me tell you, he's killing it. What I'm really excited about is, I didn't realize that, first off, that Bob coaches over 100 plus people at a given time. I didn't realize that. He is really a new seller's coach. That's what he specializes in. He can help experienced sellers, of course, but that's really what he's good at. And he has a special offer because he charges for it. But if you mention the podcast, you can get it for free, that initial coaching call. And we talk about it in the show. But that's a rare thing, and I'm very, very fortunate. He's never done it for anybody else, and he's only going to do it for my listeners. So you mention the podcast, you reach out to Bob and through Seller Coaching, and you'll see it out there. You'll get it for free. And I just think that that's a great way to figure out if this is the right business for you. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And man, tonight's guest, everybody knows Bob. I don't care where we go, and Bob's always there. Everybody knows him. Welcome, Bob Willey. Welcome, Bob.
How are you doing? It's nice to talk with you again, Mr. Steven.
It is great to have you back. It's been, as we were chatting pre-call, about a year, right? You were number 6.
That's correct. Back.
You should get a shirt made, some merch done. I was number 6 on the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. That'd be a good shirt.
That would be cool.
Yeah. You were a big cheese, top 10. You know, but you've got a great business. But you've been selling a long time. And so a lot of Bob's background, well, all of Bob's background is in episode number 6, and I suggest you go back, and I'm not going to rehash it. But, you know, you had a great year last year. Was that one of your best years, would you say?
It definitely was growing, and it was the best year I've had so far. And as we'll talk in a little bit, this year's going to blow that one away. So,
you know, and we're going to get to why, because I really want to talk about why. But how is everything else going for you? So you're doing coaching, right? You're still doing coaching, which is impressive. I mean, because you're a mega seller, right? You've always been a mega seller, but you've really cranked it up. I mean, you've really cranked it up. And you still do a lot of coaching. I mean, not a little bit of coaching. You do a lot of coaching.
That's correct.
How do you manage that? Is it outsourcing? Is it you gotten smarter? You've learned what not to buy, which I think is a skill. You learn what not to buy. What's the difference?
In the business side of it, I've gotten smarter with the buying. I have a part-time lister that comes in, so I don't have to list and ship a lot of the stuff myself. I was about to use a prep service, and I brought it in-house, and that has worked tremendously for me because I have more control, and the process now just flows. Like, if you saw the pictures I put on Facebook,
I did, and I'm going to use it. Actually, I'm going to put it out on this episode because I think it's worth the people who are not in the group to see it because it is so impressive. I mean, it was, and that's day two. Yesterday you had a massive picture, but today it's doubled its size.
Yeah, it's like it's running about 18, 19 large boxes a day.
Wow.
Going out of here, and that's just with one part-time lister and me sourcing and getting the stuff in here.
So you're doing the sourcing primarily?
I do all the sourcing.
So you're still doing retail arb?
I still do some retail arbitrage. It's hit and miss during the regular part of the year. As we get into probably September timeframe, coming into quarter four, my retail arbitrage will pick up drastically. So I'll start doing a lot more retail arbitrage, and my percentage of my business is retail arbitrage will go up quite a bit. This fourth quarter, that's where I find a lot of stuff.
So what is it right now? What would you say your retail arb is right now?
10% maybe.
Okay, so 10%. Does that include the books from your secret stashes that you have everywhere additionally? Or do you just – I mean, are you plowing through that stuff?
Actually, the books are the kind of the fill-in work.
Okay.
And we don't get to it very often, but whenever I get – my lister's caught up with what I'm sourcing, which doesn't happen real often, as you probably can tell, is I'll end up, we'll do a lot of the books. And we're probably doing now maybe 15 boxes of books a month,
okay.
Which for what I've got here is piddly, but for a lot of people that might be a lot. But for here, it, like I say, when I'm sitting now north of 50,000 books that I've accumulated that's here physically.
And you're still buying them?
I'm still buying them all the time.
All the time.
I got somebody coming tomorrow. It's coming almost an hour and a half, bringing me a pickup load of books, and I'll probably buy 6-8 of those Rubbermaid 18-gallon tubs worth of books from them.
And is this a relationship because you have a website that says, you know, your book knit store name? You have it on the side of your vehicle.
Correct.
Do you have an ad in the paper still?
I don't do print ads anymore. I do the Craigslist ad. I do run it on some of the local Facebook buy-sell groups. And luckily, I've got just enough regulars that are coming in. Like this person is coming tomorrow. This will be the sixth trip that she's made. And she's driving close, let's say, hour 15 minutes, hour 30 minutes each way. And this will be the sixth trip she's come over. So it must be worthwhile for her, too.
Is she buying those books to bring to you?
In this case, it's a large collection that her husband passed away, and they are military history books. And virtually all these books are almost pristine. So they're really great. And I've had some books in there, like battleship books. I mean, some of these are the tabletop size battleship books. Some of those tabletop battleship books, when I scan them, I kind of have to go back a little bit. I'm waiting for my iPad to kind of start rocking or something. It'd be $100, $150. A couple of them have been $200. And I get real excited when you start having $100 and $200 books.
Now, will you just buy them all?
What I do with her is I do cherry pick, but luckily a high percentage of what she'll bring. She'll probably bring me 15 boxes of books, and I'll take probably about half of them.
And you scan them individually while she's standing there?
I take my iPad. It's hooked to my Wi-Fi, but luckily right in my driveway. I got a 300-foot driveway, and my Wi-Fi actually will go all the way to the end of it, so it's a pretty strong Wi-Fi. And I'll take my I have my KDC 200 with the gloves strapped onto my wrist, and I'll just scan like a madman.
And you're getting a ding or whatever saying buy, 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 or are you looking at the value of each?
I'm actually looking at the screen because I'm using Profit Bandit, so it doesn't give you a buy signal. But I'm doing the same thing like you're doing with retail arbitrage. I'm just looking at the price, the sales rank, price, the sales rank, price, the sales rank, and I'm just going bam, 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 and she'll be here about 45 minutes, and I'll go through 15 boxes of books worth.
And is the price that you're paying her agreed upon up front, or is that negotiated?
It's not even
or is it by book?
It's not even negotiated. I'm a very fair, honest person. I'm probably one doing stuff like that. I'm probably one of the few that's still left in the world. But I pay based on what they're worth. So if she brings me, you know, $5,000 worth of books, I will pay her accordingly. If this week tomorrow comes in and she brings me $4,000, she'll make a little less. But I always pay a percentage of what the books are worth. So that way, if they're bringing me better inventory, they're going to make a lot more money. And like I tell people, there's some books out there, like if people that know books know the risk-averse book that might sell for $800, $900, sometimes even $1,000. I tell people, I'll give them $100 for that book, sight unseen. So I know they're going to make money. So I'm trying to give them a decent return. So I'm not trying to buy them for a dollar a book or 25 cents a book. I don't like that model. I much prefer the model. You bring me great stuff, I'm going to give you a great amount of money in return.
You know, you're the second person. Peter Kosisa, the Craigslist hunter, has two shops, and they're in the Chicago area. And his philosophy, he said, Steve, I have to pay more money for stuff. But he said, think about it. They're bringing it to me. I don't have to go out of the place. I get to pick and choose what I want. I get to look it up to know that there's value. There's no uncomfortableness because I'm either buying it or I'm not. And I'm paying them a higher price because I want them to come back. That's a pattern. Now, this is another successful seller telling you the same thing. Instead of trying to get the best deal every single time, if you want repeat business and you want customers bringing you stuff, you have to change your model, right? This isn't a yard sale negotiation where I'll give you a quarter for the book. I mean, this is you're paying a reasonable price, much more than a yard sale price.
That's definitely.
But they're doing the work. I mean, again, she's bringing it to you.
I mean, I do. I have most of my people all trained to bring me this stuff. I'm not going out there 30-minute drives to there, 20-minute drives to there, and spending all day running around. I'm sitting here. They're bringing me the stuff. And I go one step further, and this will blow some people's minds probably. If somebody brings me stuff and it's a good person and it sounds like they've got either access to more books at home or going to be getting more books, things like that, they're going to be a repeat customer. If they bring me duds and they happen to bring me all Danielle Steeles and I can't take any of them, it's all just general fiction books, okay, 9 times out of 10, I'll hand them a $10 bill and I'll say, here, this will help cover your gas.
Because of the relationship.
I'm not getting a single book. I'm not making a penny off them that day, but I know I will make it up in the long run.
Now, you're not buying penny books at all?
No.
Okay. Okay. So you have a dollar amount of value. Would you say what that is? That you would only want to buy $10 books, $12 books?
It depends on the book, but I'm somewhere in the $10 to $15 range generally. Yeah, I don't like to go under it. The only time I'll ever make an exception to that is if I do go out if somebody has a real large collection, like they have, you know, thousands of books, or it's an estate where I'm going to buy the whole estate, I will go out to them then, and a lot of times they want me to buy the entire collection because, like, they're going to be selling the house, they want it gone, and I'll do my pricing accordingly, knowing that 60% of the books I'll probably have to call, they won't be worth selling. And in that case, I'll end up with a lot of bread and butter books, and I will list below that then because I already have them.
Right, you have them. The other thing you would buy probably are book sets, right? If you see I'll use Harry Potter. It's just an easy one. If you see some Harry Potter books and if you set sets aside, I don't know if you're into that business, but most people are who are booksellers.
Yeah, I bought a Patrick set this last batch that she brought me, and she got a lot more money for it, but it was a 5-book set in the slipcase and all that, and we listed it for $250.
Love it.
So sets are nice sometimes.
Sets are very nice. And you can build sets. I mean, filler books. I mean, it's always nice to have them. Do you shrink wrap your books or bag your books to send them in?
95%+ of the books, no. They go in naked.
They go in naked. You're labeling them, though.
Labeling?
You're not co-mingling.
I'm labeling everything. I don't do co-mingling. I don't do this co-mingled stick course inventory. And then when a book is either collectible, higher priced, something special about it, like it's just super pristine. It's got a fabulous dust jacket, and I'm afraid it's going to get damaged. In that case, I'll probably bag it. And if it's a high dollar book, like that $250 set, we went and found a box that would fit it real nice, packed it up real well, put it in a box, sealed it all up, put this as a set, do not separate, put the product label on the outside of the box, and sent it in that way so that even Amazon can't damage that one.
That's a great idea. I mean, that's a pro tip right there. Okay, so he has a threshold that he's doing that for. The box costs 50 cents, right? These boxes, you know, good quality boxes, you're going to pay 50 cents from Uline or wherever you're buying them from.
Exactly.
And so you build that into the cost. Big whoop. But you know it's not going to get damaged because they're going to take that box and put it in another box. They're not going to put padding around it. We all know that, right? It's just going to go. But if you pack it well in there, it's going to survive, and you won't have to eat it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Great stuff, Bob. All right. What we'll do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to answer some questions that I found that I think they're really good for you. And I got them from the EPS Elite Product Sourcing Group. Run by Brianna Muller Green, Bob Steele, and Jeremy Wilson.
Great people.
It's a great group. Yeah, they're great people. You're in that group. It's a free group, and I think the questions are real relevant.
Cool.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Hope you're having a great 2016. We know we are. It is a great year. Second quarter, looking pretty strong. We're in shoes and clothing. We think you should be too. If you are thinking about it, look at yoursourcedinventory.com. That's yoursourcedinventory.com. We're members. Listen to these stats. March, average shoe rank 7,290 with a selling price of $89.42. Now think about that. That high selling price is where you're going to benefit. $31.40 profit, 80% return of investment. That's incredible. Clothing,
Average clothing rank was 8,966. Average selling price, $46.06. Again, you don't have to sell as many items to get that profit. Average profit, $16.99. Almost 17 bucks. That is a great deal. 94% return of investment. That's yoursourcedinventory.com. Think about getting that clothing list, that shoe list sent to you 5 days a week, once a day. Take advantage. You'll grow your business as much as we have. Yoursourcedinventory.com. Thanks.
He's got a lot going on. On the website, if you buzz off to ecommercemomentum.com, episode 111, I have pictures of Bob's shipments. Bob puts out two or three weekly mega shipments, and he shows a picture of it almost all the time. It's incredible to see because he's just consistently doing it, and that's the reason his business is so successful. And I just think that, you know, here's a guy who, when he travels, he pays for the trip because he'll source then. And he makes, you know, Philly Gift Show, other shows like that. He makes it a point to go and pay for his trip. So smart, so smart. We get into a lot of different things here. We answer questions, and I think they're well-suited for Bob because, again, he does a lot of new seller stuff. From EPS, the Elite Product Source Group, run by Brianna Moeller-Green, Bob Steele, and Jeremy Wilson. It's a free group. Great place to ask questions, get answers. And you'll learn a lot. Let's get into the podcast. All right, we're back, and I'm talking with Bob Willey, Bob of SellerCoaching.com, and we'll get to talk about your coaching because you do a lot of coaching. You're the regular guy that people go to, and what people don't realize is that you worked for ScanPower. For how many years were you at ScanPower?
I worked for Chris and Paul for 3 years and ran their support department. And a matter of fact,
you were the support department.
I was the whole support department.
Yeah, that's just not you gave yourself like a bigger job. No, you were it.
And I was doing support 24/7, and people were getting insane. They're like, I sent an email at 1 o'clock in the morning and damn, you answered it. How can you do that?
That's funny. That's really funny. So you've got a lot of experience, and that's why you're coaching. So it's well deserved. So, all right, let's answer these questions because I think they're interesting and relevant for a coach because you coach a lot of brand new sellers, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so I'm going to jump to this question first. Starting out in this business, how much money do you really need? And it was really kind of interesting because Brianna was showing an example about how to make $100. And there was 100 ways to make $100, I think, was the example. And so then it kind of drew to how much money do you really need to start this business? So how about you answer that one, Bob?
It is a difficult question. The question is, can you start with $100? Absolutely. Is it the best way to start? Absolutely not. But, yes, you can do it.
So you quit your job, quit your six-figure job, get the $100, and you're going to make it, right?
No. Definitely not. Okay. You're gonna die miserably. yeah, it's gonna be bad. But here's kind of the scale. It depends on how much of a business you need to have and how quickly you need to grow it. If you were leaving a six-figure job and wanted to start today, if you don't have about $10,000 in your pocket and a cushion to get you through a few months of getting going, you're in trouble. So the thing for that is you want to start selling ideally. Do it simultaneously with your six-figure job and let the Amazon business get large enough so that it starts interfering with your main job. Then you can consider leaving your job. That's the smarter way to do it. So if you get fired, it's a whole different scenario. But don't leave just to do this. But if you wanted to start realistically and have a nice cushion to grow, you want to build, let's say, $150,000 business first year. Out of the box, I recommend people to have probably in the ballpark of $5,000 and preferably fairly liquid $5,000. I don't want to do all of it on credit card because that gets a little risky. You can use credit cards, but be ready to pay them off. What I don't want people to do is get dug in so deeply that you've got a lot of credit card debt and then you start sweating. So you want it to be comfortable, you want it to be fun, and you want it to be smart growing. But if you have somewhere in that ballpark, can you do it less? Absolutely. But what you end up with, imagine a hill. If the more money you have, the steeper and steeper you can make that hill that you're going to grow quicker. that's going to get really, really steep. If you have a lot of money, it's going to be like almost like Everest. You're almost going to go straight up. If you have $100, it's almost going to be flatline. If you have $1,500, you know, it's going to be a medium slope. So just imagine that it's going to take longer and a little more work as you're doing things if you have less money. You definitely can do it. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. And I have seen people do it with $100. The problem with that is it generally is going to take you 2 years to do something that other people are going to do in a year. It's just a longer curve to get there.
And 1 year in this business is, you know, 10 years in the retail world, right? Because it changes so rapidly, right? I mean, it's just amazing how fast it changes. So let me add something to it. So the $150,000, you're thinking that somebody with $5,000 can build up. $150,000 business, if you run it right, could generate $25,000 to $30,000 of net profit.
Correct.
My numbers. I always use about 17% is what I see. On lower dollar amounts, it's a lower percentage, right? And that's a challenge. But there are other expenses that you're going to have to consider. So don't think you're going to leave a $50,000 or $60,000 job, sell $150,000 and consider yourself, you know, replacing your income. It's not. And really, you want to flip as much of that money after tax, because you're going to pay a lot of tax. You're going to want to flip as much of that money back in. So year two, now all of a sudden, that generates, you know, $350,000 or $400,000.
Correct.
And you know, I always say this, is that $30,000 of selling, which is, you know, $350,000, is not that hard to get to. I mean, it's hard, don't get me wrong, but it's not that hard by yourself.
No.
To get past that is really going to be the challenge, and you're going to need money.
Correct.
Because there's no limit of stuff to buy, right?
And the one thing to put this in relative comparison, if you were to do the same type of thing, you wanted to leave your job and you were going to open a brick and mortar. If you look at a lot of brick and mortars, their payback period can be 3 to 5 years. We're talking about building something in 1 year that's going to be profitable, making you money. A lot of retail, conventional retail, they're going to be 3 to 5 years out doing it, and probably have to have more money up front to do it than starting this business. So you're starting with less capital, less resources, and you're making a lot more money quicker.
Well, significantly more capital needed for that brick and mortar.
Sure.
The other thing to think about, too, though, is that, you know, I see people jump in and they're like, oh, I'm going to immediately get to the $1 million in sales. You won't. You can't. There's enough stuff to buy. You just don't know what not to buy.
Correct.
Because you're going to go do the Target end cap and buy all the junk on the end of the cap, and so is everybody across the country. And then all of a sudden, the stuff you thought you were making money, you don't make money, right? So you've got to learn what not to buy. That's a learning curve. To me, that's the hardest learning curve in the business, I think, is that everything looks like a great deal until it isn't, you know, and you just know. You build a tolerance, and you get to a point where you can get past that. All right, that was a good question. I knew you'd be a good one for that.
Cool.
All right, here's the next one.
The other quick thing that not interferes, but affects that is your age and your motivation and your energy level. And the reason I say that is in 6 weeks, I'm going to turn 60. So I'm not a youngin. I've been around for a long time. And I can't work at the same pace I did when I was 19 or 20. It ain't going to happen. I'm not going to try. So if you're in your early 20s, and doing this, you're going to be able to grow a lot faster because you're going to be able to go 20-hour days consistently without sleep and still survive. I can't do it. So if you're there, if you're middle of the area, you'll have a different level. And if you're at my level, you're going to have a little bit slower pace you want to do. And I want it to work smarter, not harder. So that does factor in as well.
Yeah, and it does. But, you know, and I think the guy that works the 20 hours, I admire it. I don't recommend it. I think that, you know, you're just setting yourself up for a disappointment at some point because life is going to happen.
Yep.
Life happens to all of us. And when you do and you don't have that time capacity built in, you're going to affect your relationships, whether it's a spouse or a significant other. But you're going to affect some relationship because you're not going to give it the attention it deserves. And there's nothing that's worth it. It's just money. You don't want that.
When you work at that level, you might end up with a lot of ex-wives.
Yeah. And who needs more of those? Ask Bob. He could tell you, right, Bob?
I ain't going there.
Okay. So next question.
Yes.
Okay. It was and this was from the EPS, again, Elite Product Sourcing group out on Facebook. It's a free Facebook group run by Brianna Moeller Green, amazing woman. Bob Steele, great guy, smart, Mm-hmm. Wicked smart. Jeremy Wilson, who I have not met. Well, I did meet Jeremy. I'm sorry. Yes. Great guy. Yeah. They run a great group, and there's great questions. They have a lot of product lists. So if you're into looking for products to buy, as I said, there's no limit to what you can buy. There's just so much inventory. That's what they do. But there's also questions in there. It's a free group to join.
Right.
This question was about a large pool. So there was an example of a large pool, and it came from Walmart, and I've seen it in a bunch of groups by now. And it's been sold out online, right? And they're saying, hey, go find it if you can. And what the issue was is that there was some negative reviews. And so there was some discussion back and forth, you know, do you buy things with negative reviews? And there were a few people are like, oh, no, if they have negative reviews, I'm not buying it. So they dismissed it. And then somebody smartly went in and said, wait, let's go look at the reviews. The reviews were about the price. And people were complaining about that it's cheaper at Walmart than buying it on Amazon. Does that sway you from buying and selling something?
Generally not. And it's like anything, it's relative. So if you look at those reviews, depending on what they say, it may sway you a little bit. I don't factor it in very highly. And I'll give you an example. A couple of Christmas ago was Dippin' Dots. Dippin' Dots, if you look at the reviews on this, I mean, it'll scare the you-know-what out of you. I mean, it looks terrible. It looks like everybody's going to not like it.
Is this
it.
The stuff that got caught in people's hair?
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. It's just kind of weird.
Right.
But I sold over 100 of them. You ready for this? I got exactly zero returns. I did not get a single return, sold over 100 of them, made a lot of money. But yet if you looked at the reviews, even I was thought about it. I was like, I'm worried. Well, we'll get some returns. I'll have to donate some to some kids or something. Didn't get a single return, not one. So can it affect things? Possibly. Do I let it sway me? I use common sense. I look at it. I look at the item. I look at what the comments are. How realistic are they? How much do I think it's really going to affect the business? And if it sways me, fine. But most of the time, to be perfectly honest, I know the way the Amazon buyers think and do things. And generally, I'm just going to take my chances. And if I get a return, I get a return. I'm not worried.
You build it into the model, right? So that's the point, is that you sit back and you say to yourself, hey, you're going to get 2% at a minimum returns. Just mentally know that. So if you buy 100, you're only going to sell – you could sell 100, but you're going to eat two, right? No matter what. And first off, not all of the items are going to sell through at the price you want it to be, right? That, let's face that. But 2% are coming back. And if you're lucky, it's only 2%. You know, some categories like shoes, it's a lot higher percentage,
yes,
right?
Yep.
So you got to build that into the model. And to me, I'm with them, is that this would not have swayed me from selling this. The weight sometimes will sway me because, you know – when you think about a plastic pool, I think heavy, right? You got to think heavy because it's compact. It's packed in this little dinky box, but it probably weighs a lot. You got to consider that, right? The size of the box matters, right? Because oversized products cost a lot more to sell. There's a higher cost to sell, right? And so you just got to play that all into it, but count the returns. And so that's a good piece of advice. Okay. Here's the next question. This is a good one. Somebody just got approved for selling clothing on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And their question is, what do I use to take pictures and what are the rules? Now, that's a very, I know how I would answer this question, like, whoa, you got a lot of research to do. But what my mind went to, was this a person that came from eBay or something like that where, you know, let's face it, the rules are, there's not that many rules, right? It's really pretty simple.
Right.
You go to Amazon, now all of a sudden you're talking about they want professional pictures. So let's talk about that a little bit.
It's an interesting question. Some people say, well, I'll use my phone. And some of the phones have decent cameras. Like if you have like an iPhone 6 or the higher-end Androids, the cameras on them are pretty daggone good. And they'll do a decent job. You're probably still going to have to do some kind of photo editing and running them through like Pixel or something like that to remove the background, because you've got to have the white background. So you're probably going to have to do some manipulation. The other thing is, and these people come from eBay, they might have it, the old school, I have a light box. So if the item is small enough that I can put it in a light box, it makes the white background a lot easier because you're using, I have daylight adjusted fluorescent bulbs, and it's a white cloth surface, so it really makes the background a lot easier to deal with. They come out a lot cleaner right out of the gate. So you don't have to do a tremendous amount of editing. For me, I have an older Canon camera, physical camera. I have one of the Wi-Fi SD cards that hooks right into my computer. I take a picture, it sends it to the computer. For me, that's the cleanest, works the best for what I do, because I'm not trying to do everything on the phone. I know some people like to, but that the old school way works really, really well for me.
Okay. Where my mind immediately went to was like, hey, let's see, Bob was asking the question, Bob, you really need to learn this. This is probably one of the most important things you can't cheat on. Those specs are important, and they will burn you if you do not follow them. But first, did you check to see if that product is already out there? Because a lot of the manufacturers, right, or the distributors, because most clothing comes through a distributor, has all that stuff, and it's available, right? You and I buy a lot of wholesale, so that's where we get most of that stuff. I can ask any of my vendors, and they have that stuff right out there. So a lot of time, those pictures are already done and out there, and you just have to go find them, right?
That's correct.
And so that's where I would start.
You have to ask permission to use this picture.
You got to have permission, and a lot of the sites give you permission, and they tell you exactly what the rules are. And so that was going to be my second point, was that you really need to understand the rules, and it's not a question that really can be answered in a Facebook message, because it's deeper than that, because there are a lot of depends, right? There's, well, this is good, but it depends on this, and it depends on this, right? And you really need to learn it. And that's one of those things that somebody really needs to say, there are no shortcuts. You have to learn it and do it the right way.
Correct.
Agreed?
Correct.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Those are great questions again from the EPS Elite Product Sourcing Group. I appreciate them allowing me to ask those questions and or elaborate a little bit more on them, because they answer them out there too. And that's the value of being in groups. And Bob's got – Bob. Let's talk about Bob's groups.
Sure.
Bob's groups – Bob's got, what, are you over 25,000 people now in your groups combined?
Almost 27,000.
27,000, incredible. You've got several groups.
Yes.
Now, let's go back to the famous group, because you were a Yahoo, I mean, a lot of people don't even know who Yahoo is anymore, right?
Right.
You were one of the originals, and you had a group called, what did you call it back then?
Let's see, what did it start out as? Oh, man, I have to think, it wasn't that. Oh, my, you're trying my memory now.
That's all right.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
It's an old FBA group.
Yeah, it's FBA Forum now and has been for quite a while. But, yeah, it did have a different name because it was – we had books at one time. So it's been a variation of things. But we finally settled on FBA Forum, and that was the more meaningful name all the way through. And for people that aren't Facebook-oriented or want – to find something other than Facebook groups, because some people think that Facebook groups are not the most friendly for finding messages or following threads, things like that.
And they're not. Sometimes they're not.
Yeah, the Yahoo group is much better for that. But it is definitely old school, and if somebody's really into Facebook, they might not like Yahoo groups. But if you do, the FBA Forum group is out there. I started that. To give you an idea, Amazon opened up FBA in 2008, That group was started August the 1st, 2008, and we now have over 5,000 members in that, the old school group.
Wow. Incredible. So that's how many are in your Facebook group?
I've got three big groups.
Well, let's go through them. All right. So we got FBA Forum. That's the Yahoo group.
Right. Actually, I've made it even easier now.
Okay.
Chris Green gave me a tip. He said that the .group domain just opened up recently. So guess what I snarfed? Now we have, from my FBA Newbies group, if you go to FBA group or FBANewbies.group, that now has 14,000 members just in that one group. And that's just the newbies. And it's anybody is welcome. These are all free groups, by the way. None of these groups are paid groups. They're all free groups. Anybody's free to join. And there's a tremendous amount of information in there.
So that's a website?
It's a domain, and that points you to the Facebook group. Now.
Okay, so FBA Newbies group is your Facebook group. Okay, go ahead.
Then we have, for the people that are doing a lot of books, I have one booksellersfba.group, and that's where all the booksellers go. And we've got a lot of members in there as well. And then for the – when I was making the transition from the Yahoo group – to Facebook for the more advanced sellers, I have an FBA forum group out there, and it's FBA.group. So it's FBA.group, booksellersfba.group, and FBANewbies.group. And it gives you three simple links, and you find all those groups and join all of them if you like.
Wow, that's awesome. So you've got a lot going on. So in addition to that, you find time to coach. How many people are you coaching at a given time?
In a ballpark, probably around 100.
All right, I got to pause for a second on that because I was going to say something witty, and then all of a sudden I'm like, my jaw, I can't pick it up fast enough. So you're literally coaching 100 people at a given time.
Yeah, generally.
In addition to being a mega seller, in addition to running these groups, in addition to having a partial life. I mean, do you have a partial life?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so you got a little bit of a life. So it really comes down to time management. I mean, you know, I know you brought in some help. Last year, I think, was the first year you really brought in help right to your house.
Right.
And they're doing it. And that's been a huge game changer. Did you have to go through a few people to get to the right person, the right fit?
Yeah, I've gone through a few people. And it turns out the two best that I've had is my daughter, and then now I have her mom, and her mom's the one's helping me now. The daughter had had a baby back in last November, and she's still at home with the her little giant, as she calls him, and hasn't really been able to address the daycare or whatever. At some point, she'll probably come back as well. But between the two of them, they kept it in the family. And I'm not related. It's not my family. But their family ends up being the perfect for me.
And no issues of them copying your model, going out and starting on their own, stealing your ideas, all that kind of jazz.
These people are very loyal, very good. I have had the issue over time. I have had people do that. Generally, they don't do real well.
Well, they think it's easy because, let's face it, you know, packing boxes and shipping them to Amazon is relatively easy, right? There's not a lot of skill to it. You know, there's some art to it. You want to be good and that, but that's not the hard part.
No, that's
the time-consuming part.
And I've told the people, I don't make the people sign a non-disclosure or a non-compete clause or any of that stuff at all. They're free to do anything they want. We have a gentleman or lady agreement, whatever you want to call it, just a handshake, is that if you want to do something in this business, I'll be glad to help you, and we'll set up the rules so that, you know, it's not a bad thing. You're not taking things for work. It's not going to compete with work, really, and I have no problem with it. It's just do it up front, tell me what you want to do, and I'll be glad to help them.
Love it. What would you say – I mean, what are the other things that keep you organized? Is there something else that, you know, that's allowed you to fine-tune this model?
A few things, I guess. I use Gmail real heavily, and I've gotten real good with folders and all those kinds of things. I also have another little thing that I do, and I know some people don't or think I'm crazy, and they're probably right. I very rarely ever delete an email. If you ask me where was their first contact and the first email we've ever had, I can go over to my Gmail and it will be there. I can go back to when I started doing Amazon 12 years ago and I still have the emails.
Wow.
I've had to upgrade my account to get larger and larger. I think I have 100 gig or something account now for the email or something like that. So I have a lot of it out there. But it's really convenient because now I can find anything. Somebody asked me a question. You know, people jokingly call me the link king because I can always find the link or I can always find the information. And that's just another tool I use. I have everything at my fingertips. So I'm just so used to doing it that I've got everything in a way that I can find it. Just like emails, I probably get in excess 1,000 emails a day. And most people, that would be intimidating enough with all the other things, but I just methodically just work through them all the time. I don't even think about it. I delete that, gets archived, bam, bam, bam. I go through 100 emails, and I spent 2 minutes where, you know, a lot of people spend an hour. I'm just incredibly efficient with it, and I do the time slicing, if you will. I'm always time slicing, so I've done a little bit of the email, and then I jump over. I place a few orders. I jump over, check on my list to make sure everything's there, check on my account, do this, and I'm just constantly time slicing between the things. And interestingly enough, I don't have a specific schedule. So I'm not doing 15 minutes of this, 15 minutes of that, whatever.
Do you have an alarm clock that you get up in the morning, or you just wake up?
No, I do have an alarm clock.
Okay, so you do have that. And I mean, are you doing this on a PC, or are you doing it on a phone, on your iPad, or all of the above?
Most of my work, I'm sitting at a computer. The two main computers I use are iMacs. I live by myself in a 2,700 square foot house, and I have 7 computer systems set up in my house.
So you're within a stone's throw at any given moment. Got to get to one.
I'm in the office right now, and I have 2 Macs and 1 PC in here. In my library, I have another Mac in there. I got another Mac in the library or the back room. And then, sadly enough, I do have a MacBook Pro sitting on one of those little roll-around desk things that you put up next to the bed. I have one in my bedroom. Yes, I do.
Oh, man.
And in my bedroom, on the other side of the bed, I have an iPad on an arm. So I have access to 2 computers sitting in my bedroom. So when people say, well, how did you answer that question at 2 o'clock in the morning? It's because I have a knack. I can wake up, do something real quick, and go right back to sleep, and it doesn't interfere with me at all. And I do remember it. I know I did it, but I can wake up, do something, take 2 minutes to do something, and be right back to sleep. I don't get sleepless and all the things that some people do. So I'm just constantly working back and forth. When I get up in the morning, and I'm not a big morning person. I know a lot of people are morning people. I'm more of an evening person. But when I get up in the morning, before I've ever come out and really got ready in the office, I've already did my phone thing. I've looked at my iPad. I've probably read and archived or deleted 100, 200, 300 emails. I've done some other things. And by the time I come out, I've intermingled and time-sliced a lot of my work for the day before I even came out in the office.
That's incredible. Dude, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy.
Nope,
but you know what? Now, you know, I just, again, though, you're enthusiastic. For 12 years you've been doing this.
Yeah.
You still love it. It's not become a job, has it?
No, not at all. I absolutely, anybody's talked to me, and you hear what I'm doing right now, I absolutely love this business. When I start helping people and coaching, I am just as strong all the time. When I get coaching, when I get done a coaching session, I'm walking a couple inches off the ground. I'm high on life. So
that's
I
awesome.
Absolutely thoroughly love this whole process.
So if somebody's new,
you can't fake that.
No, you can't fake that. And especially, you know, I'm not going to call you old because I'm gaining on you, right? I've just gained another one on you. But, you know, for a 60-year-old man, I don't know many people who say that, right, who still love what they do, but love it. I mean, not just enjoy it. They love it. And when you see you, and, you know, it's funny, you and I usually see each other at the Philly Gift Show.
Right.
You are there. You make an event out of it. You don't just go to go buy things and jump to the next. No, that's a several-day event that you go to every year, and you make it enjoyable and fun, right? It's become part of your life, but it's a great part of your life, right?
Oh, yeah, and I'll have a bunch of coaching students that are in the Northeast area, whatever. They'll come to the show. They'll tag along with me. I'll have a couple of, like you see me there, where a couple of them shattered along with them, and I'll help them. And they get a vendor, they'll call me, they'll text me, say, can you come over to booth 385? And I'll run over to 385, help them. And in the mix of it, my time slicing again, I'll still find some vendors for me.
Great system. Okay, so people, it can be done. It's work, but that's a four-letter word. I don't want to call it work. It's effort.
Yes.
How about that? That's a better word. There's effort, but everything takes effort, and especially everything that's really great takes more effort, and that's okay. So sellercoaching.com is your website. That's what you do, is you do coaching. You're coaching 100 people right now, a lot of intro, a lot of brand-new sellers. And I think there's a comfort level because you've got so much experience that you've seen it all, right? And so you offer me a deal, and I'm very appreciative of this, is that you do a one-hour consultation, right? Or what do you call it?
First interview.
Where you decide if you're right for them, and they decide if you're right for them, right? Because sometimes people aren't right for you. And so you normally charge for that. And you said and I'm going to ask you to hold this, is if they mention the podcast, when they reach out to you, and I'll have your contact information, you'll give them that hour for free.
That's correct.
Dude, that's very kind of you because, you know, I mean, I think people need to invest money in this because if they don't have skin in the game, they're not going to follow through with it. But that first initial conversation sometimes is hard for people. And, you know, and I think quite frankly, and this is my advice to the listeners, you really need to interview the people that you're going to use as coaches because you really want to be comfortable with them.
Right.
Everybody has something to offer, and I know, you know, but you want to have a comfort level, and I think Bob has that. So sellercoaching.com, again, when they message you, if they mention the podcast, they can get an hour for free at the initial discussion just to find out if either one of you are going
to
fit.
The first interview, and just to give you an idea, I've known Stephen for a long time, and we have a real good relationship, and this is an offer I have never extended to anyone else. That's just the first time I've ever offered this.
I truly appreciate it because there's a whole bunch of people. I'm helping a young fellow that I just interviewed. I'm going to help him move forward. There's a lot of people that care for a lot of people, and you really want to, again, find that right fit. And for you to step up and do this is a big deal, and I truly appreciate it. You know I mean that, and I'll repay it to you somehow. So what's your big goal this year, Bob?
The one thing that was kind of interesting, we talked about this last year, I was getting to a point where I wanted to plateau. I really did. I was actually at a point, I told you I wanted my comfort factor. I wanted just to get to a point where between the Amazon business and the coaching and the other things that I do and affiliates and all that kind of stuff, that I would make a nice living. I really wasn't interested in growing. In all the things you heard about what I'm doing now and doing the sourcing and having somebody else do the listing and the time slicing, whatever, something interesting has occurred. And I'm doing a lot of different products now, a different product mix. I'm doing a lot of shoes. And like you saw in the last 2 days, 18, 19.
And I'll post those pictures. I mean, it's incredible to see.
18,
you gotta
19
really see
boxes. There's probably, I don't know, what is it, 100? Probably 100 plus pair of shoes in each one of those shipments. I didn't count them. And it might be a lot more than that. I'm doing a lot of shoes. And I mean a lot of shoes. I did over 1,000 pair last year. The way it's tracking for right now, I'll probably easily do a couple thousand pair this year and might do quite a bit more now. And the interesting thing that's occurred is I wasn't trying to grow the business. I really wasn't. I was going to plateau, and I was happy with that because I was in a nice, comfortable place. I didn't necessarily need a lot. I'm 60 years old. I didn't need $1 million business to survive. But what's interesting occurred is that I'm going to go from a $300,000 business last year, just doing it part-time the way I do it, and I'm probably going to exceed $500,000 this year just because I'm doing things smarter and not harder, and I'm really not working that much harder. I really am not, because as you heard, I don't have the time, but I'm probably easily going to exceed $500,000 this year.
Crazy.
What I call a part-time business.
Yeah, because let's face it, you're a full-time coach. I mean,
yeah.
So, you know, it's really interesting when you love what you do, it doesn't become that four-letter word, right? It's just that effort. And the effort, what I appreciate what you're doing smarter is you've outsourced some of the bottlenecks because you were the bottleneck and you said it before.
Yep.
And you've outsourced some of that stuff, but you've outsourced it on your terms. To me, again, I think that's another smart move is you don't have to go – that's a fear I have for people is they come into this and they're like, oh, my God, I'm going to kill it. And then they kill themselves and then they burn out and then it's not enjoyable anymore. That's just – you're creating a lifestyle business. You got that means you have to have some life, right? That's part of it. Lifestyle includes life. You have to have a life. And there's a way to do it, and there's a really smart way to do it. And I think Bob's a great example of that.
Right. And
very, very cool.
And back to the coaching, just something that separates me from a lot of the other pack, because you obviously in life you have a lot of choices. Very few people do an initial interview like I do to give you a chance to really explore things before you spend virtually anything, so that you're not locked into anything. And something else, and I don't have this in writing, but I'll offer it to anybody out there. And again, I know the audience that Stephen's got out there, so you know what's going on. And a few times in the past, I've had people that started into the coaching, and I know some coaching programs say there's no refunds and all that. If somebody gets to a point where something in life changes and you can't do the business, or something, there's a really good reason, or something's just not working out for the coaching, is just not going to work out for you. And every single case that anybody's ever asked me that, I've given them a refund, I've prorated it out. And I like people to be happy, and I don't want people unhappy. So I put it out there. That's how confident I am of what I do.
That's awesome. Okay, sellercoaching.com. I'll have Bob's contact information, his Facebook, where you could private message him. But you got to mention the podcast in there to get that initial interview. Hey, it's an hour. It's an hour he's giving you. Take advantage of it. You really got to, you know, make sure that you have well thought out questions. Take advantage of it because, you know, you're not going to get to talk to somebody at this level for free for that hour. It's a big deal. And man, I really appreciate it. Cool. Bob, I can't wait to see you. I guess I'll be seeing you up one next event, I'm sure.
Couple weeks, July's coming up for the.
Yep, in July is the Philly Gift Show.
Right.
I'll be there, and then I'm going to Vegas. I don't know if you're going to be out in Vegas.
I thought about it, but I'll probably be there in February.
Okay. Yeah, I'll probably go back again, too, in February, because I'm really enjoying – I think I'll probably be both twice a year. So, all right, then I'll be seeing you in a few weeks. I wish you nothing but success. Again, I thank you so much. Sellercoaching.com. Again, I'll have all the links for all his groups. They're all free. And then I'll have the link how you can message him to find out about the coaching. Bob, take care. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. And everybody out there, thank you very much for your time. Have a great one.
Man, another great interview. Again, think about if this is something you're considering, spend an hour with Bob. You know, reach out to him, mention the podcast, he'll give it to you for free. And if you don't choose to do it, hey, you got nothing lost but maybe an hour, but you'll know. And again, he's a seller's coach, a new seller's coach, because he's coaching 100 plus people. That says something that he's always had that many clients. So that should tell you something. Again, free. I appreciate it, Bob. That's very kind of you. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.